Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Something that every one of us really need in our life is wisdom. Knowing what to do, what not to do, and at what time to do those things, and at what time not to do those things. The wisdom to know what to say and when to say it and how to say it, and the wisdom to also know when to keep our mouth shut. The wisdom to look at this life and not be rattled by it. The wisdom to trust the Lord and respect Him, and that is the beginning of wisdom. We can't skip steps here, but to have a reverence from the Lord or a fear of the Lord, depending on how you interpret that, but a reverence for the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom. We can't skip that step. You don't get to just show up and jump into grad school. You got to start at, well, I was going to say kindergarten, but most days now it's pre-K. You don't just get to jump to that. The beginning of wisdom, if you and I want wisdom in our life, the first step is for you and I to revere the Lord. Yeah, but I want to know what to do in this circumstance. No. The first step is not to figure out your problems. The first step is to revere the Lord, and that is the beginning of wisdom. And from there, it opens up. Because we put faith in Him, and now we discover who He is. And we get to know Him better. We get to know His Word better because we read it, and the Holy Spirit gives us understanding, and we begin to learn what God is like and how He does things. How He gave wisdom to our mentors, those who've gone before us. And I want to share with you this morning and ask some questions that you can answer in your own mind. But where do you go for wisdom? Or do you just think you have it all figured out and that everybody should be coming to you for it? If that's you, raise your hand because I'd like to interview the person sitting next to you who knows you. Yeah. Moses, you know, he wasn't a flawless leader, but he was a really good leader. And did he make some mistakes and did he have to go through some training and learning? Yeah. All on his way to wisdom so that he could become more and more like God and rise to the occasion of his call or office and what God has led him to do. Book knowledge is good, intellect is good, but wisdom's a different deal. It's not based just upon knowledge, though it's part of it. And so Moses in Exodus 18, people would come to Moses with their problems, okay? And Moses would sit there, and he would listen to their stories. He would listen to their complaints. He would listen to their grievances with one another. And he'd go through it. And then he would make a judgment. And he was doing this day after day. And he was doing it all by himself for the mass of the tribes of God's people. He had a father-in-law named Jethro. Jethro observed this, what was going on. His father-in-law came to him and said, and I'm going to paraphrase here. I'm going to throw some things in here. I'm not adding to God's word. I'm just communicating a principle here. I know you're the leader of God's people, but come here, sonny boy. I have observed something. Do you know that's what wisdom does? Did you know that? It's part of gaining it is we observe, we watch, we pay attention. Not just what's going on at a surface level, but deeper than that. And he says, Moses, listen, you're wearing yourself out. When you get worn out, the chances of you making really good decisions become less and less, right? Get worn out, you're tired. You'll see this in parenting. You've had a long day, it's been correcting the kids, been doing groceries, you're going to job, blah, 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 blah. And finally in the evening, you've had it. You are worn out. And now you're not going to take time to talk nice to your kids. You're just going to say, you know what? I said so, so just be quiet. And you probably won't say be quiet. You might use words like, shut up. Shut your cute little face. Just do what I'm, right? We're tired, exhausted. And that was just one day. And then very little sleep, and you get up the next day and have to do it all over again. And Jethro saw this, said, Moses, you're going to wear yourself out, and you're not going to make great decisions for God's people. He says, you need to find some others who are capable, who can help you, and that the people can go to them so that you can be the person and the leader that God has intended you to be. This was never meant to be a one-man show. You see, we all have our limitations. Say it, I have my limitations. That's where the Holy Spirit and God make up the difference. And Jethro came to him out of wisdom. Let me ask you this. Where do you get your wisdom from? See, I've got Robert Theodore Williamson's voice in this brain of mine. You can't hear it, but I hear it. That's my dad, Robert Theodore Williamson, RTW. And throughout my life, I can hear his voice. Now, when I was younger, I heard it with my ears. As I got older and moved away, I still heard his voice, but it wasn't with my ears. It was with my soul, the things that impacted me, the things that directed me, the things that brought wisdom to me, value to me. And I want you to know throughout my life, there has been other men who haven't been like my father, my dad, but they have been somewhat father figures to me that they shared things that I thought, you know, that's the voice of a dad. That's the voice of a father, a voice of a father-in-law. Do you have the voice of a father in your life? Now listen, you can say, I don't know my dad, or my dad, I don't really know him, or my dad wasn't really a good dad, and I don't have a relationship with my dad, and so his voice is not a great voice in my head. I just told you that there are other people in my life, even though I had a dad who was very practical and I would consider to be practical and very, to a great degree, he has a lot of wisdom. And it impacted my life. And I have quoted him, not trying to be like him. It just, his phrases impacted me and they came out of my mouth to impact my children. I tried to be selective and let them be just the good things. Because we're all going to be selective, right? So, I don't know your relationship with your dad, or if you have one or even know him, but that's not an excuse to say, I don't have a voice of a father in my life. God will provide other voices in your life. And I want you to know it's not just fathers. It can be mothers, and it can be women. So some of you who are starting to get upset, just settle down. I'm building off a story here for us out of the scripture, an account where it says his father-in-law came to him. Do you have a voice of, and I'll just say father, it can be mother, it can be, but a voice of a parent? And it might be from somebody who's not your parent. I've had a few of those voices in my life that were like a father's voice, that brought wisdom, got me to pause, got me to consider, and ultimately, our Father in heaven. And so Jethro observed, and Moses was doing things alone, and he needed to learn to come up with a form, a pattern, a structure that would help delegate and ensure justice for everybody. That's what they were looking at. Somebody, alarm's going off. Time to get up. Not late for church. And so it was about preserving Moses' energy. Couldn't wear himself out, right? We need to learn how to rest. We need to learn how to carry ourselves in health in this life. And there's times where we will get tired and we will get exhausted. That's part of this life and part of being diligent. But we have to be diligent with rest and renewal, or we will deplete ourselves and we will not serve God best. And there's wisdom in that. Maybe that's for somebody in this room. And so there's an importance here about seeking counsel from experienced and wise individuals. Now, not every experienced individual is necessarily wise. But experience helps. And one of the biggest ways that experience helps when you're a believer is that you see the faithfulness of God over time. That's a big deal. Because it anchors us. No matter what we face, we have an experience with God that reminds us that whatever this is, He will help too. He didn't just abandon us, leave us on our lonely, alone. He showed His faithfulness. And so, in wisdom, is there a voice somewhere in your life, at least one, that is like the voice of a father, that is out of concern for you, love for you, but also discipline and some counsel? We've got to look to God, and we've got to look to experienced and wise individual. Even when, get this, even when we're in a position of authority, there's still some men I call from time to time who are pastors. And we chat and we fellowship, but I ask them something because I know something about them. I've watched them. I'm familiar with them. And I ask for counsel on something. Even though I'm in a position of authority, you're in a position of authority in your life. You don't need to be a pastor. You don't have to have a badge. You can just be a parent. Right? And we want to always be right in front of our kids. Don't we, Mandy? Yeah. But here's the deal. You need wisdom to be able to parent, and so you need to ask. You need to ask for help. Asking for help and asking for wisdom, by the way, is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of wisdom. Go a little further in the scripture and you will see David, King David, give counsel to Solomon, who was going to follow him as the next king. And David counsels Solomon, you can find it in 1 Chronicles and other places, verse, chapter 22. As David gets near the end of his life, he imparts wisdom to Solomon. You know, that's... when we get to the end, near the end, if we have our wits and we have that time, you want to pass on something good to your kids. It's not just about passing on your favorite boat. It's not about just passing on some money. It's about saying something meaningful that will not just impact your relationship and who you are together, but for the days of their life. David does this near the end of his life. He imparts wisdom to Solomon, and he instructs him on the task of building God's temple, because David was not allowed. He wanted to, and God said, I can't allow you to build a temple because you have been also a man of war and your hands have spilled blood. And he said, so I can't have you build a temple. And so David, he passes some wisdom on to Solomon about building the temple, emphasizing this importance. Ready for this? Emphasizes this importance. Solomon, obey God's laws and commandments, and you will have a prosperous reign as king. Obey God's laws and commandments. Olivia, you're young. You got all kinds of dreams ahead of you and all that stuff. You want to have a really good and prosperous life. Obey God's commands. Sisters, I want you to have a long and prosperous life. Pay attention to God's commands. Obey His laws. You still got time. You're young compared to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obey God's laws. Pay attention to His commands. All of you who still have breath in this room, don't think you're so far along or you've walked with God long enough. You know, obey His commands. You want to have a good future? And now it doesn't mean that it's not going to have any problems or challenges. But if you pay attention to God's law and God's commands, His wisdom operates through it, and it is going to be a great strength to your life. And so David tells Solomon this. Yeah, build the temple. Here's some instructions, but obey God's laws and commands if you want a prosperous reign. This is about highlighting the role of a God voice, a Father's voice, a person's voice of wisdom. Where is that in our life? That role is very important to you. And it's important that we change and transform into being that voice for others. Not that we arrived. Moses led the people and David led people. And they considered counsel. Solomon became king. He started out, and he was a good king. But later in his reign, he forgot the counsel of his dad. And he abandoned wisdom, and you will see that his life and reign was complicated with idolatry and with political strife. It led to a divided kingdom. Kingdom was not unified anymore. And it all came back to Solomon as king. And he abandoned the counsel of his dad. He abandoned God's laws and commandments. And his reign was no longer prosperous. It created problems for him, but it created problems for other people. I want you to know that there's a piece of this that though we call it my life, our own life, that our decisions based upon wisdom or the lack thereof has an effect on the people around us. You don't deal with your child with wisdom, it's going to affect them. You deal with them with wisdom, it's going to affect them, but in a positive manner. Rehoboam in 1 Kings, he becomes king. And now, his father was Solomon. And you have to remember, Solomon was the wisest of men, other than Jesus. He was the wisest of men. God gave him wisdom. Proverbs, right? Book of, we call it wisdom, it's lower wisdom, it's about practical living. In the book of wisdom, Solomon is inspired and inspired this and by God and writes all of this. And Solomon had counselors, he had advocates and counseling, a group of men who brought counsel where he discussed things with and worked things out. Well, his son Rehoboam, after Solomon dies, Rehoboam becomes king. He has this beautiful, beautiful opportunity that he inherits the counselors that Solomon had. And so those elders gave counsel to Solomon. They gave advice to Solomon. Solomon had the opportunity to listen, and they advised him to be a servant of the people and speak kind words to them. There's a good lesson for all of us. If you want to be wise, serve and be kind. Serve and be kind. Counsel him to do this. And they counseled him to do this for a reason. They said, speak kindly to the people. Serve the people. It will lock in their loyalty to you as king. And the kingdom could be unified again. They're giving him good advice. However, Rehoboam disregarded the wise counsel of those. And you know who he rallied around him? His harsh younger peers. I don't know who you hung around with when you were younger. And I'm sure you love them and they might even still be friends. And it's not that God can't use younger people, because they're supposed to be an example to the believers, Paul writes to Timothy. When we're looking for wisdom, we've got to be open. You see, I want to say something to those of you who consider yourself to be younger. Don't judge the counsel. Listen to this. Don't judge the counsel or the advice of those who are older just because they don't know the latest terms, fads, or technology use. Don't think, they don't know that stuff. They don't know anything. I want you to know, Scripture says there's nothing new under the sun. In other words, the challenges and problems of life, they're the same. Culture changes. Technology changes. But the problems that you and I face are not new. So just because old pastor here doesn't know all the latest fads and terms and all of that, Ava, don't think that I don't know something that might be good for you in your life. We just think, ah, they're old, they don't get it. My parents, they're just so out of touch. Yeah. Yeah. You take good notes, because if God gives you long life, you're going to have kids. And you are going to be out of touch. And the cool hair you wear now, they're going to laugh at. Yeah. Be careful if you're getting all your counsel from your young peers. Being young is not a crime. We were all young once, believe it or not. We're all young once. And it doesn't mean that you can't figure things out, or that you're not smart, or you're not talented, or you don't have intellect, or that you don't have some measure of wisdom. I'm just telling you that this young king surrounded himself with a bunch of harsh advice of his young peers that led to the further dividing of the kingdom. And he rejected the counsel and advice of those he thought were out of touch. Where do you go for your wisdom? Proverbs 11:4. Where there is no guidance, people fall. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Wise, not weak. Looking for wisdom is not weakness. It is a strength. It is wise to do so. And if you're an expert in an area, I want to say this to you. If you are an expert in one area, or you are maybe the most successful in the small circle that you run in compared to the extensiveness of this world, I'm glad, and I'm glad you're successful, and I'm glad people look to you. But don't think for a moment that you're an expert in everything in life. And just because you're really good at something, don't stop getting counsel that you might even become more wise or better at who you are and then at what you do. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. James says it this way, James chapter 1, verse 5. This is just a great verse for you to maybe lock into. If anyone lacks wisdom, they can ask God for it, and he will give it generously. The voice of a father. Where are those voices in your life? They are important voices. Someone to speak in your life, and then to have the fortitude and integrity to sort it out, and what do I listen to, and what is right. See, the decision is still up to yours. No one's taking your decision away. That is still yours. I have gotten counsel from godly, respected men who I've gotten counsel from them prior that was good, and it was right, and I sorted it out. But they also gave counsel at times, and I thought, I need to continue to think about that and pray about that. Let me tell you what trumps their voice. God's voice. God's voice, God's word, God's call and direction and revelation to you, it may go against the counsel of those around you. Now, you've got to have a pure heart in this. You can't say, I don't like their counsel, so I'll ask God and come up with something in his word that supports my idea, my thought, my feeling. That is foolishness. You have to have a pure heart in this and say, I want this to be a good decision. I want this to be a right decision. And I've gotten counsel. And I've gotten good counsel. But I don't know that it's God's counsel to me. We sort that out. Father, you know what they said. This is what they said. Help me process it. What is it that you have? You see, I will tell you that there were a couple of people who I have gone to for counsel in my past. prior to being here. And it was good counsel. It was helpful counsel. I prospered from it. I learned from it. Used it. It brought about good. And when I was faced with the decision about coming here, they said, "You're going to consider going where and doing what?" "Oh, Randy, you don't want to do that. Look at where you're at. Look at how it's going. Look at. I paused. But I believe God's will prevailed. And the side bonus is I wouldn't have had the privilege of knowing you. My life's better in many ways because I know you. Why don't you stand up, please? These examples in the scripture, they emphasize the value of seeking counsel. Listen, seeking counsel and giving wise counsel. Recognizing the role of counsel in your life that lead us towards righteous living, right relationship with God, and successful, listen, and successful decision making. That's what we're after. And I will tell you, if you and I learn His voice and His way in the little daily things of our life and use wisdom in it, it trains us and it builds a foundation and it continues to build so that when we face bigger and bigger decisions, we have a base to work from. We have experience to work from. We know God's voice better because we've heard Him in the little things. All of you, me, all of us, those watch, we all face complex things from time to time. We all face difficulty. We all have to figure things out. How do I deal with this person? How do I deal with this circumstance? How do I deal with this new thing that came up? Whether it's at work or at home or it's an inward thing going on in our life. Dealing with people. I love you. But, right? You love your kids, of course. Give your life for them. But days, right? You love your spouse, but there's days, right? Work relationships, hey, you're grateful, there's a team, all of that, blah, 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 but there's days, We need wisdom. Wisdom to know how to walk through this life, being unscathed by the distractions because of wisdom, and learning to walk with wisdom that we don't intentionally scathe and injure others for the wrong reasons. The kingdom became unified. The wisdom to overlook an offense. Bible talks about it. Proverbs. Wise person knows how to overlook an offense. Boy, do you know how undivided we could be in our homes, in our relationships, in the church, if we had wisdom, and in every area, but the wisdom to overlook an offense. Have you ever considered that if that was that kind of health, that maybe the American church would have more power of His Spirit evident in their lives and when they get together, instead of offenses creating barriers and bad feelings and all the stuff that sits dormant, so to speak, behind the faces, behind the titles, right? Showing up here this morning, but you got a big family conflict or something going on. The wisdom to deal with that. Ask God for it. That's not weakness. That's being wise. That's being really smart. Reverence the Lord first. It's the beginning. It opens up the door to wisdom in your life. We got a lot of teenagers and a lot of young people, those who are coming up to those ages, they're going to be making some decisions, big decisions, life decisions. They're starting to choose what kind of person they're going to be and how to deal with things in this life. I want God's wisdom to be revealed to them and through them. I want us to be a voice of counsel, an ear that listens, knows what not to say. And when we know what to say, that the wisdom to know how to say it. We need that with each other. We need that with others in our life. I want you to be a wise people. I want wisdom to be like a threshold or a corner post or doorpost or a cornerstone to your house. When I say your house, I mean your family. I got RTW's voice going on in here. But there are times that it got trumped by my will. And it was foolish. Then there are times that his voice got trumped because God said something different. And that was no fault of my dad's. But his voice trumps all other counsel. But don't think all counsel is foolish. You young ladies, you need to learn something from these older maidens of Christ. I know, they don't dress like you, and they might look a little judgmental at times. Yes, they still got to get fixed, too, even though they're older. But they've got some core things, some real wisdom. If you want to grow to be a godly woman, godly wife, godly mom. Men, got to have a voice of a dad somewhere in your life. Let's ask the Lord for wisdom, shall we?
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.